You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Captain Dean, on location at Mellow Matt's Music and More, where the stuff is cool and the staff is cool too. And that's my motto. But anyway, I'm here with the bassist of Wolf Island Cosmonauts, Lucas McPherson. Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
What about it?
How are you doing?
Pretty good, brother.
Thanks for meeting me here. And on the, I'll make it public that this is a redo. We did this, and it had to be scrapped because it turned out bad.
And it was all my fault.
And it was totally my fault. But we originally recorded a Sound Atlas together at the Spillway Bar and Grill. Yep. Probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago from where we are sitting. And I listened back to it a while after I'd recorded it, and it sounded like absolute shit. And I hated to message you and say, hey, man, we're going to have to do this again.
Hey, it's all
so
good, brother.
We're going to do this again, and I'm going to ask you all the same questions all over again.
Back in the ring for round two.
Exactly. But thank you for meeting me here, and I apologize to Robert and the Spillway that I don't get to plug their venue in this episode, but we kind of just did.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make that clear because it is a sad and unfortunate thing. But out of all the episodes I've done, that's the first time that's happened to me.
It's just me, man, I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think I know what happened. Lucas, thank you for meeting me here, and we're going to start it off with the great question of where are you from?
As Glasgow, Kentucky.
Yes.
Actually, Temple Hill, Kentucky.
Temple Hill, great band, and part of Barron County.
That's right.
And what got you into music?
I was a huge AC/DC fan growing up.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, before that, like, my dad was a big CCR fan. And I loved cranking that Chronicle album out. We jammed that all the time. But the first time I really got to listening to, you know, harder rock, I guess, you know, AC/DC, and that just became my favorite band. And I had a DVD of them playing live at Donington and watching Angus do his thing, man.
Right.
I had to have a guitar.
Great energy, super in-your-face, to-the-point rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. I was 12 years old. Doing that duck walk around the bedroom.
But you know what? And AC/DC and CCR both, like, CCR maybe had some areas of openness, but they also had a lot of songs that were very to the point.
Yeah.
So those are two bands that really just hit hard and hit,
stuck to their sound.
Yeah, the structure of the songs were, I would say, simple in musical terms, but powerful.
Yeah.
And especially in AC/DC's ballpark. I mean, that's power.
I mean, I look at bands like AC/DC and Motorhead, well, even Creedence too, that just stuck to their sound.
Yeah.
And made a career out of it.
Oh, yeah. And it's, what do you call it, the one trick pony?
But one trick pony, but that pony.
That's
you
an
ride
awesome
that pony
trick.
All day, you know what I mean?
And so that was like the big thing for you. You saw this, you heard it, immediately wanted to play music?
I heard them, you know. I had, you know, a couple of, say, I think I had Dirty Deeds and I had that record, and Highway to Hell, which that was my favorite song. And
that's a great song.
Getting to actually watch them perform, like, you know, I mean, I didn't get to see them live. I hope I do sometime, but, you know.
Yeah.
getting to actually, you know, watch them, that just did it for me. I just wanted to be in a band so bad I couldn't stand it.
Right. So when did you pick up guitar and get started?
I think I was 14, and I had went to Backstage Music Company in Glasgow when that was the
rest thing. In peace.
Yeah, God bless. That's holy ground, Glasgow.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I've told a lot of people. I've drove past it. I never went in. All the music stores I went to were right here in Bowling Green or in Nashville, and I just had no involvement with Glasgow.
It's very missed.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I know Music and Me tried to at least be the store to have strings, and if you had a cord go out and you're a local band in Glasgow, you had an easy place to go without driving an hour away to get something. But
it was so handy, but, you know, those dudes are busy, and, you know, I get it. You know.
But I've heard great things about Backstage Music, and so you got to experience that,
luckily.
So that's good.
I didn't take lessons from Kenny, and a lot of people, you know, were big Kenny Weber.
Yeah. Very popular name to hear from people getting guitar lessons.
But his son, Bernie, which people in Glasgow know him as Nard or Nardis, what they called him.
Okay.
He was the one that
got he was my the first rock lesson. The rock teacher.
The rock teacher, pretty much. Yeah, Kenny. I mean, I was always told he could play anything.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Just burn it up. But whenever I remember making a phone call and I talked to Kenny and was trying to schedule, arrange, getting lessons. And he asked what kind of music I wanted to play, and I first thing I said, AC/DC, yeah. Metallica, you know, Zeppelin stuff. And he's like, oh, well, I'll hook you up with Bernie.
Yeah, anything so, distorted.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, in the first lesson, got to learn my favorite song, Highway from Hell, and just went on after that.
That's cool. Did it take a lot for you to, like, settle and understand it and chord structures and all that? Because some people, it seems to be kind of a natural thing. They pick it up, and they instantly figure it out. And some people, it takes a year to just learn how to play a G chord.
I don't remember it taking like that. Like, I had to drive to, you know, I had the drive to, I wanted to do
right.
it. Like, I had to do it. I just could not go
so
on.
So many, many hours, yeah. not only you would get the lesson, but then you'd spend countless a number of hours doing it.
Which I knew chords. I knew some chords because I had an uncle that played. And he did mainly like bluegrass. And
was it the
like
only
that.
Family musical performer, or did anybody else in your family play music?
He was the only one that really did. It was my Gary Bewley from Glasgow. He did a lot of bluegrass and stuff like that. But your
father had these records. And
yeah, he was.
So he had good taste in music.
Yeah, you know, it was like just the classics, the Stones and CCR. That
the
was his
good
favorite band.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he'll tell you today his favorite album is still Cosmos Factory. So that's
I love it.
I do too.
I love CCR.
I do too.
I don't really talk about them very much, but when I discovered them, I was really young, and I was like, this is really good, you know?
Oh, man, that lick to Green River, that was one of the, that was one of the other first licks
right.
I learned how to play, and I just burned that to death.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's the classics. My mom did a lot of, I mean, she sang a lot of gospel and stuff, but he was my uncle at the time. He was really the only performer, really, that...
Right.
Anything, so.
But, I mean, it's somewhat of a connection.
Yeah.
Because you never know if there's, like, genetic stuff in there, you know? Could have been there.
Could have. But, yeah, after that, I just, you know, I learned how to read tabs and went on from that. And,
right. So what were you listening to besides the bands you've mentioned? Like, what else was coming into your life and influencing you to keep going and eventually start a band or get into a band?
Well, I was kind of one of the folks too that whenever I learned to play guitar, like, I really didn't have any interest in being like the best guitar player, you
right
know? I just wanted to be a rhythm guitar player in a band. I just wanted to be in a band, you
so
know
did
I mean?
You see Malcolm Young as an influence? Because I've read a lot, especially after he had passed away, a lot of people came forward saying he wasn't Angus, but man,
oh, yeah.
Look at the riffs he wrote. Look at the job he did. He was back behind the showman,
right?
But he really held the fort down. And so a lot of rhythm guitarists came forward praising Malcolm Young. And I'm assuming that kind of caught wind.
Definitely. Him and James Hetfield, too. I mean,
yeah.
Metallica's probably still my favorite band to this day. You know,
I mean, James is an incredible lead player.
Yeah,
but
how he plays and sings.
He kind of sticks to the rhythm part and lets Kirk have all the stuff, you know. But
yeah, dudes like that, that was a big inspiration, especially, you know, he could play that and sing at the same time, which I never really had any interest in doing a lot of singing, but I did a little bit, but not a lot. Then I tried that, you know, and of course, me and Robbie, who's the lead guitar player.
Yes, Robbie Anderson.
Local. Me and him, we've been best friends since, well, I say 7th grade.
Okay. So y'all kind of grew up together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was he playing music, too, when you all kind of met?
He's kind of, in a way, he's kind of the reason I didn't really start playing, but he's how I found out about Backstage, you know, giving lessons.
Oh, okay.
Because he took lessons there like a year before I started playing.
Okay. Man, that's a strong connection. You all have been together for a long time.
Yeah, we've been through the ringer.
Yeah, yes, you have. Yeah,
had a lot of good times, but we've a lot of times just sitting around the house or, you know, chilling in the bedroom, playing acoustics, you know, and then he started writing songs a lot earlier on than I did, and I always learned everything that he played, you know, and just the plan was always, let's put a band together, you know.
Right.
And
so, this, so again, you were like 14, 15 yeah, high school years kind of thing?
Yeah.
So when did you make the transition to becoming a bass player?
Well, we had a couple of projects that we never got to play out, but we, you know, we had a couple of like garage band style of band.
Never had like names and did one show, that kind of stuff?
No, not really. I mean, the only one before, me and one of my best friends, Wes Hinkle, and Blake Rather, we had a little three-piece in a garage, and we were called Grave Deep, and all we played was Smells Like Teen Spirit. So that was garage band experience.
Hey, man, that's how it starts.
That's how it starts.
That's how it starts.
We had a couple of projects, and it was me and him, and then finding drummers. I found Cody.
Cody Glass.
Yep. He had found me on Facebook somehow or another. Just how musicians do. You see a picture of someone holding a guitar.
It seems like Glasgow has such a strong musical force up there.
There's a lot of pickers, man. And
there
a lot
are.
Of that you don't even know is there. You know?
Yeah, I know. It's
so
incredible.
Yeah.
It's a surprise you all don't just know each other running into each other.
You would think that. But I had met Cody, and of course the plan was always to try to put a band together.
Right.
So I found out he played drums, and me and Cody jammed a couple times, and I brought Rob in, and of course at the time I was dead set on being a rhythm guitar player. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even really thought about transitioning to bass, but Cody hooked us up with Ricky Hodge.
Yep.
And then we started we brought him in, and he played bass actually for a while.
Oh, okay.
And we did that for a little while, and just schedules and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. just didn't really work out. And wasn't long after that little project had split, Ricky had hollered at me and pretty much made me put a bass on and made me go to his little school out in
the
out
school
in
of Ricky Hodge.
School
right?
of Ricky Hodge. That's it. Yeah, that was my.
I've heard that term from so many people.
That was my Hogwarts kind of.
That's great.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's where he told me, he's like, if it's the last thing I do, I'm gonna put a bass on you. So, and then
it seems to be a comfortable fit though, because when I see you playing, it seems natural. Mm. Like you, I don't know. They always say bass players have a look. You've got the height requirement for a bass player, because bass players seem to always be tall.
I got the weight requirement, that's for sure. The first full scale jam that we had where I played bass, man, I was like, well, this is just what I want to do, just being in front of that big cab and having all that air, and
so it really felt comfortable to you.
Oh yeah, I was like, well, hell, I'm good with doing this. You know, you know what I've been doing. I wish I could go back in time and, you know, pick it up earlier.
But you really didn't have a whole lot leading up to that moment. It was just experimenting, jamming, testing things, and having fun with friends.
Right.
You didn't go through 8 bands to get to this band.
No.
Like, this is one of the pretty much the first and only band you've been in to an extent.
To a point, because this band kind of is a spinoff of multiple ones, really, because it was always involved the same people.
Right, and I interviewed Cody earlier this year, and he mentioned his upbringing and various projects he had done, and he talked about how he really wanted to play drums, but he was really into the guitar, singer-songwriter, like country level of things, but he just finally got it and said, I'm gonna learn how to play drums. I really want to play drums. And he did. But he played in various bands and various people leading up to that. But it was kind of early on that he didn't do it for very long prior to the formation of what became the Wolf Island Cosmonauts.
Right. That that little group that I told you about was me, Cody, Rob, and Rick.
Right.
After that kind of just went down, just, you know, we didn't really do anything with it. After that, I had bought a drum kit, and I just put it down in my basement at the time, and Rob come in and started playing drums. He had actually been practicing drums some, and then we just started like a little jam band. It was me and him and a guy named Dustin Jones.
Yeah.
And that,
which is not to be confused with Dustin Jones from Out of the Ashes.
Right, right. The different Dustin Jones.
There are two.
That spun into a band called Swing Shift.
Okay.
It was us three and then Zach Piper on vocals. We did that just for like a little short time. We'd always had the Wolf Island Cosmonauts name, but we just couldn't get anybody else to go along.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you had the name really early on.
Yeah.
But it just never kind of evolved into a working band.
Well, it started out as kind of a joke. Because
I don't know how. I've told you 100 times. That's a brilliant name for a
band. I love it, man. I'm glad that people seem to like
it. It's absolutely fantastic.
The name, it's Dustin's uncle, who was his boss at the time. They was working together, and his uncle had said, I got a name for your band, which at the time we was just jamming, you know. But he's like, I got a name for your band about Biscuit Jones and the Wolf Island Cosmonauts. And we all had a big laugh at it, and like, hey, well, Wolf Island Cosmonauts kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
And it took a minute to get to do that, because we tried out some different singers, and they was like, I don't know about it, but... Finally did it. Had to do it. I love the
name.
We were all
set on it. Sounds like a really bizarre blues band.
I love it, man. It was different. You know, I mean,
I think it's just fantastic.
But yeah, and then I had people.
It looks cool.
Yeah,
like it's one of those band names that looks cool.
With the
you spell Cosmonauts with a K, but just those three words, like you can put. There's a lot of bands with three names, you know, and you can put anything together, but it takes a special thing to really not only sound good, but look good.
Yeah.
And by changing the C to a K in the word Cosmonauts, that was it.
See, and that was my idea, because
congratulations.
They wanted to be correct on the spelling. So
No, I think, no. Lucas did the right thing.
I had to give him a little hell. No, but, man, the evolution of that, just the ideas and everything, just, it's crazy, like, now, like, from what we thought, what we wanted to do with the band,
right.
Kind of make it more sci-fi and kind of horror-themed and everything,
right.
But now we're just straightforward rock and roll
band.
Yes,
you are.
Just seeing how all that stuff turned out, it's really cool to kind of look back. And
again, like, and we had talked about this a while ago, but you mentioned how the three of you with Ricky... kind of is where the starting point of this band started, and it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
but yet the name and the band and the action that you've done has only been fresh for what, couple of years at this point, but yet it was a long, slow, patient road to get to this point. But yet you've been a band for how long now?
Shit,
it's almost a good decade, right?
This band. 3 years.
Right.
This band, 3 years. I mean, altogether, we've all been jamming.
Stuff.
I want to say probably about 7 or 8.
Yeah, I was going to say.
About 7 or 8
when
years.
That, the story about
all
when
of,
Ricky
yeah.
came in and you all were jamming and you had a, you didn't really do anything. But that was a while ago, like a while back, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 7 years.
But yeah, Wolf Island Cosmonauts as an established band with record, a CD, videos, performing live. Like, I was at your first performance.
Yeah.
When you all wore
that.
The matching, was it the hood?
It was a hooded jacket or something? Hoods, camo shorts, and boots.
Yes, yes. Simple, but great.
Yeah.
Because you put that on stage under certain lighting and smoke machines, it looks cool.
Yeah.
You could have been the Unabombers.
Who's under that hood? It's Glenn Campbell.
How about that? But it is interesting to hear how something starts off, and instead of it taking off in 3 months and just a few rehearsals, you all took a long time to get to the point where it was like, we're going to do this.
Well,
so
we was
learning
our
like
licks,
to,
you know what
okay.
I mean? You know, we was learning our licks and just...
But you just didn't seem rushed. You didn't seem... I guess maybe, like you said, it was like an experimentation type moment, and maybe other people... Because Cody was doing... other stuff with a Whiskey Glass. He had his own project on the side. He did play drums with Ricky in, was it Ghost and the Human Hoax?
Right.
There was a lot of other things, but it seemed like you and Robbie, this was your thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in a way kind of like our baby doll, you know what I mean? It's put so much work and effort and persistence,
yes.
You know, that's key,
yeah.
You know, and it's took a while, but...
Yeah,
I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah,
we're pretty proud of it, man.
I would say so, because I think you all built an incredible thing. Once, all of that happen? I mean, did you have anything spin off or do any other things? Or was this kind of it? You just jammed with these guys when the opportunity was there. You didn't look into other projects or other bands come calling you.
At first, I didn't really have the time because I was married. And then after that, I just said, well, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do this. This is, I'm putting all my cards, putting them all on the table. Okay. You know, I'm ready to give it a shot and see what happens, you know.
So yeah.
After that, just went on, tried to chase old dream, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Got to.
Well, to be young, I mean, it's easier to do it.
Might as well.
I mean, it's you. If you have to, I did.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you'll regret it and question everything.
I don't want to be, you know, 50, 60 years old and be like, well, I wouldn't have been like if I would have given it a shot. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I could.
See, I'm nearing that, and I can say I did give it a shot.
Man,
I did go on the road. I did do this. So
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, man, if you're happy doing it, if you love doing it, if it's your dream and you're passionate about it, you gotta pursue it. You know
exactly.
what I mean? I just wouldn't have it any other way. Some people might think I'm crazy.
No.
For some of the decisions I've made, but, you know.
Well, being an artist is a risky kind of choice to make anyway, but it depends on how you handle it, how you go about it, all that stuff. But the band gets rolling. Eventually gets established and nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, that was about 3 years from now. So it was about 2016.
Right.
You really, I guess, had like a meeting of sorts and said, let's do this.
Well, we had, at that time, we had brought Cody in to the band because Rob played drums and really wanted to bring him back on guitar because, man, he's a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
And great vocals, great songwriter. So it's like, good on drums, but we got to have you up here. It's where I wanted him, you know. Well, it's where he wanted to be, too.
Yeah.
But so when we was trying to find a drummer, Cody was kind of slowing down at the time on his country stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, hey, man, you'll come in on this. And we started rolling with that. And, you know, he really pushed us to get more gigs and, you know, he was the one really going out and trying to network and, and do stuff. I didn't really know how to do that, and he already knew a lot of musicians at the
That's
time.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
He knew,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he was already – I mean, he was pretty close to John, John King at the time. And, you know, he was really close to a lot of musicians that we didn't really know. So he really helped us get our foot in the door. We're getting to play out. And he – it wasn't long after that we got to play with Luther and – that was a great show, and then getting to play with Sixth Floor at their reunion, that was great. And when we really decided, like, all right, let's go
for
it.
It's a heck of a start for a brand new kind of band to really
it took a minute to get those, but, you know,
yeah,
we
but still
them.
I mean, to be that those are your first outings in a way, or somewhat,
and
what a heck of an introduction.
Oh yeah, I mean, we looked up to all those guys too, you know. Yeah. But
I know he loved Luther.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he told me in his interview how much Luther and Sixth Floor meant to him. And so I could imagine what that excitement would have been like. To be
yeah.
I can't believe I'm in a heavy rock band, too. I get to play and open for these guys.
When we played the Sixth Floor show, he actually got up and played Kentucky Love Song. Which
That's
is great. Which is great. I loved it.
Everybody's favorite song.
I know. Yeah, it was a good night, man. It was a good time. We had
but
a
I'm pretty sure I saw the first actual show, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. You saw the first Cosmonaut
because
show.
You all were a four-piece.
Right.
With Dustin Jones also on guitar.
Right.
And it was at the Spillway. I can't remember who else was there.
Blind Locomotive and Hour Late.
See, I don't remember Hour Late, but I remember Blind Locomotive. But I was so impressed, and I had kind of met Cody late. A lot of people knew him already. I was kind of a late bloomer to him. I think when he started getting into the drumming aspect, he started reaching out to me, just asking questions. He would pick my brain about gear and, you know, tuning and all this stuff. I mean, he'd video call me, and we'd have these ridiculous phone conversations.
I'm surprised he'd knock on your door in the morning. He did that to me all the time.
Well, he didn't know where I lived, and that was, I think, I live, you know, pretty far from you guys. But we just started having a lot of conversations, and we became close through that. So that was kind of my introduction to him. It's like, I've known this guy, hear the name all these years, but I never knew him personally until he started really taking drumming seriously. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and I'm sure a few others and just really started asking questions to be like, I want to do this. Give me some, you know, crash course kind of things on what do I need to know and how much information can you give me in one phone call about drumming and learning about things. And so I would go through this just like incredible amount of stuff, like, you know, tuning and setup and placement and all this. I'd give him all the tips I had, right? So that's how we got to know each other, and it was, you know, fairly recently. It was about 2015, 2016 era. And so when you all played, I was like, I'll be there. I want to see this. I'm excited to see what you're doing. And I didn't know you. I didn't know Robbie. Mm-hmm. But based on what Cody was telling me, he's like, man, I'm so excited. I'm really digging this new band. I love our sound. I think we've got really good songs. And I was like, I'll be there. And I was. And I made damn sure to be there. And I was I'm very happy to say that I was there. It blew me away. I have a photograph of us together after the show. And I was just so proud of what he had done. And that's basically the night I met you and Robbie.
Yeah, I believe it was.
And I loved it. So, again, like the band kind of over a slow course of time evolved into what it became. But like I said, when the initial debut of it was a four-piece. Mm-hmm. How long was Dustin in the band, and when did he leave and it become a three-piece, and what happened with all that?
See, I want to say he was in about 2 years.
Okay.
And it wasn't long after we did the Sixth Floor show. We really just wanted to start, you know, traveling a little bit, you know, and put more money into it and mm-hmm. everything. And his interest kind of went more toward, like, the tech kind of side.
Oh, okay.
And he started, like, building amps and stuff that. So he really fell into that, and it was... You know, it was a friendly, you know.
So no bad blood.
No drama, nothing like that. We're good. Still great friends. Go every now and then.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Don't hear that very much.
Yeah, man. I mean, no one's got time for all that anymore, you know. Well, we're all pretty chill folk, you know.
That's good. That's good.
But after that, we decided,
after
okay,
he
let's...
left, you decided we're going to be a trio.
Yeah, it was like, let's put some into it. Let's put everything we got into it, you know. Money don't matter, whatever. Let's just, you know, do what we can,
right.
You know, and try
all
to make,
for one.
Try to make it. Let's make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then just
did
I
it change
it,
the sound, or did anything kind
a little,
of alter a little bit?
I mean, some of, you know, with Rob having to, you know, do more guitar work,
yeah.
And do vocal, which he played some lead too before. Dustin mainly played lead,
okay,
but Rob did throw in some, and he's always been a great lead player. Mm-hmm. Rob has.
Just gave him an opportunity to dive more into it and break out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really cool just, like, going back and watching some of, like, the videos on my lady's phone mm-hmm. of some of, like, the shows we've done.
Right.
Man, he's really grown watching him grow as a guitar player, because we've grew up playing together, you know, just seeing how we've done. But, it didn't really change. It changed some, but, I mean, it's about the same gist, you mm-hmm. know. It's about the same.
It didn't seem to take long, though, once all that happened and the trio of this was established. That's when that really took off.
It did get a little easier.
It seemed like you got more gigs. I started seeing your all's name on more advertisements of shows and venues and all that stuff. And it seemed like you were growing mm-hmm. an audience. And I caught a few shows between the beginning and more recently as we're speaking, and then out of the blue I finally get a new band going, and lo and behold, our first show was opening for you guys at Riblickers, and I was over the moon that I got to open for Wolf Island Cosmonauts.
That was a great show, man.
It was a great show, and I have to just totally thank you again, because I say every time I see you guys I say thank you, but it meant a lot to me, and I know Cody was just thrilled that we got to share the stage together. The guys from Mundane Nation helped a lot with that, because their drummer couldn't make it, and I have filled in with them a few times, and I was like, I make you a deal. If you can ask them if we can do like 20 minutes and open the show, I'll play drums for you guys, and it'll make it a smooth transition, and we can fill the night with music. Because I didn't know all their songs, and I knew that if my new band, El Astronauta, could do just a handful, like 15, 20 minutes, it would make up for that time. And sure enough, that's what we did. Man, and it worked out great.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, you know? Like, Trevor Smith said something that stuck in my head forever, is if you got an electric guitar in your band and I've got one of mine, we got to stick together.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do.
I agree.
That's been stuck in my head.
That shows a lot of generational difference, too.
Yeah.
Because in the days of me growing up, it seemed like there was some throat cutting, maybe a little head bashing going on, but... it seems to be different now. I think everybody kind of looks out for each other, and no matter if your bands have anything related or not, musically speaking, there is a sense of respect and a sense of admiration for what someone else is doing, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's art, you know, so
yeah,
there's a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, but thankfully, we got to do that, and I'm very grateful that you all allowed it, because you could have said no.
I'm down to do it again.
We've done two shows together as we're speaking, and but you guys were hit with an incredible amount of tragedy this past summer of 2019, because Cody Glass was killed in a motorcycle accident right as your album came out.
Literally.
Yeah. And I talked to him, I want to say it was either Thursday or Friday morning. You all had a CD release party at Tidballs.
Yeah, it was on a Friday night.
And I had texted Cody at some point between Thursday and Friday and said, hey, man, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm really sorry, but I want that CD. I'll catch you at the next show. And he was tragically killed on Sunday morning. So, unbelievable shock went through this music scene again, which this music scene's gone through a lot. But obviously, you guys had just put out your record. You had spent all this time building this band and creating this thing with someone that you considered a friend, a family member, a brother of yours. I'm not even going to ask the stupid question of what you went through, because we all know. Mm. But I don't even know how to word it, really. It's just, it's terrible. Well, because you lost a bandmate and a brother. I lost a friend. This music scene took an enormous hit yet again with the loss of an incredible talent and an incredible musician and a wonderful person.
Oh yeah, man. He never met a stranger.
No.
You know what I mean?
He was a wonderful guy. But
the only thing I believe he really hated was sitting still. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he'd tell you that.
Yeah. But of course, I didn't get to see that show, and the next time I see you is at his funeral. Mm-hmm. And you guys really went through an enormous punch to the gut. And, I mean, again, it's like, I don't even know how to word it, but somehow, some way through this tragedy, you kept going.
Yep.
So what have you all, I mean, gone through? What did you and Robbie even sit down and discuss when all of the, you know, everything had kind of cleared after a few weeks? And
well, when that, of course, you know, that day, it was Sunday. I got a phone call at 8 in the morning, which we did the CD release Friday. I went to work Saturday night and worked night shift at the time.
Uh-huh.
Got off work, come home, did my normal ritual of pop on old television and, you know, smoke a cigarette, wind down, you know, and got the phone call,
yeah.
You know, and Rob, he comes straight over to the house. And we sat there, and some friends of ours come down and kind of sat with us, spent the day with us, and I mean, we didn't really talk about the band or anything.
No,
it was just kind of, you know, I mean, we didn't, in
the
my
shock
head,
of losing your friend and your brother, I mean, that's
the, we knew the band would be okay.
Hmm.
You know, like, just in my head, it's like, it'll be, the band will be fine, we'll figure that out. But at the time, we didn't really, you know, talk about it. I don't really know when the first conversation come about where we even talked about trying to get a fill in or anything that happened. But it was just like instantly, it's like, well, hey, yeah. Okay, we'll bring Eli. Cause
obviously,
he's
you guys, the grieving process, you know, and everybody handles it differently.
Well,
there is no proper way to handle something like this, but unbelievable tragedy for anybody to go through, especially a band.
We had already had stuff booked. You know, we had the Vet City. That was already, already booked. We had the deal out in Glasgow for the
Grim Baron.
Reaper. Yeah, the Rock and the Baron River.
Yeah.
That deal was Sixth Floor. Luther,
that's true. You all did have a lot. You played the Harley Harley Davidson Vet City kickoff thing or whatever.
Which we already had those, you know, booked. And, and they, every one of them reached out and, you know, asked us, you know, if we needed to pull from it, you know, and everything. We just told them, no, we'll figure it out because we got to, man, you know.
Like, right.
If we'd have just said, all right, you know, well, that's it. Well, that's not going to be good for anybody.
Well, I think it's the honorable
thing
to do. And I went through that with a band that I knew from Louisville called Gravel and Spiders. Their drummer had passed away 2 days before they were going to open for Doyle.
At Diamond.
At Diamond Pub. And Amy called me and she told me that he had passed away in his sleep. And I was like, I was like, what? And I had 48 hours to learn the songs unrehearsed and show up and play. But I can do that. I don't think a lot of people can do stuff like that. I can do that. And you all knew, I think subconsciously, that, like you're saying, the band's going to be fine. It's not like you were really processing that, thinking about it. You didn't immediately sit down and plan something.
No.
You just, in your heart, knew that you knew a lot of musicians, you knew a lot of drummers that would easily been able to step in as a favor and as a friendly gesture and a way to honor him.
Yeah.
That, and I've seen it done by so many bands. And so I would say it's an honor and just a horrible thing to do, but I felt like it was the right thing to do. On my behalf, it was the right thing to do to fill in for him, but I was so proud of my friends to do what they did. I thought by carrying on and not canceling, I thought they did the right thing.
Yeah.
And they too, like you guys, just carried on. They sat down and got through these shows with me as a fill-in, but they just immediately knew, we're not done.
No.
And he wouldn't want us to end this band.
Well, if the roles were reversed and it was me, I would want that. I would want them to keep going.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think anybody would.
Yeah, I mean, I put work into this band.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd hate to just see
it just dies
come
out.
To a complete end because your loss or absence of being there.
Cody took a lot of pride in this band.
Yes,
and
he did.
He took a lot of pride in it. And
he worked his ass off to get to be the drummer he became because he literally started.
And how just, he had the time
he
to do
had
it.
The rhythm, but he wasn't a drummer.
Man, he.
You know?
He worked a full-time job, which he's liable to be in Owensboro one day, Gallatin the next day, Lexington. I mean, he just,
crazy.
You know, he didn't know where he's going to be at. You know, he's traveling
true.
All over the place.
That's true.
He's got three kids at the house, a fiance. He's got a band, and he's trying to, you know, he's got his country project he's trying to do on the side of
that's
that.
True.
His plate was over, just
yeah,
overflowing.
It really was.
You know what I mean? But a dude made it work. Cats like that don't come around very often.
No.
But yeah, I mean,
but
he
yeah,
put a lot of work
in
into
in the particular situation of this band, with the amount of work that he put into this band alone, you did the absolute right thing.
Yep. I'm glad he got to release the album with us.
Dude.
That
was hard because I didn't get the CD until later. It was a good month or so after he had passed away that I finally, because it's not, I'm going to walk up to you guys at the funeral, I'm like, I need that CD. But I was like, when I finally got it, that was difficult to sit in my little home studio and put that in and listen to it. Because, of course, I've heard the songs.
Mm-hmm.
They've been played on the radio and stuff. But to sit there, just me and that record in a room alone, the songs are great. I know the band. I know what to expect. I knew it was going to be good because Barrick handled it. But all I could focus on was listening to those drums. Listening to those drum tracks. And that stood out completely on the first listen. That's all I listened to because I knew that that was it. That's like his final thing, which I know he's got other stuff.
Yeah.
But he had been working on his country music project, and that will see the light of day.
I believe so. I'm not
Ricky
sure.
Ricky told me a little bit about it, and he said, thankfully, he had a lot recorded tracked to where other things can be done. Yeah.
They've got.
So that will eventually come out. But as far as the work and the hard work and all the years and, you know, everything that he put into Wolf Island Cosmonauts, that EP that you all recently put out, you did shoot one video that was released.
That was from Moonlight, yeah.
Yeah.
But we shot that, which that was recorded at Plot 13.
Oh, that's right.
With Michael Etherton, yeah. Dead Dick Hammer.
The guy
Richard
with 13
Hammer.
Names.
Yeah. I love that guy, man. He's a hell of a dude.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you did have two different sessions.
Yeah, we did. Well, we did an EP, a demo. We did a demo.
Right.
And then once we transitioned from four to a three-piece,
yeah.
It was like, okay, first thing we need to do is get something out there.
Right.
You know, we don't want to just rush in and do an album right now. You know, we want to take our time off. If we're going to do it, let's do it right.
And when, what was, like, that didn't take very long, did it? You all made the EP pretty quick at Barracks.
It took about all together, getting everything,
right.
Writing on artwork and all
sessions
that
stuff.
That mm-hmm. that took the longest, probably.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that does take a long time, but the demo, we did that, and then we did the single, the Moonlight, we did the one song, and did a music video, and that was the first thing we put out, or, like, you know, really put out,
right.
was that.
As the new three-piece band.
Right. That was the first thing that we'd put out. And
that was the video that was shot on
the
second floor of a barn.
Man. And there was no steps nor ladder.
That's crazy.
We made some kind of structure to climb up just with whatever we could find. You should have
seen
him
haul
me up
in the thing. That was 254 Productions,
yep, Brandon
correct?
Taylor.
Brandon yep. Taylor, that's right.
Yep. Yeah, man,
it's a cool video. It's a cool video, but yeah, you...
Man, it
were you
was
shaking
like,
up there?
It was like 110, and I had to try. I'm sitting here thinking, how am I going to get my big ass up in that barn with my 215 cab and all this stuff?
Yeah, that would have been the moment where I'm like, does the amp really have to be in the shot?
It was worth it, though, man. I tell you, every bit of that. I love that video just for the fact, just the memories of going
again,
there and shooting
I think
it and just the day we had.
Exactly.
It was such a good day.
It's a great video, but the fact that you all captured him on record and shot that video, that's something to be thankful for.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Absolutely.
That.
Because it's there for everyone to see, and it will always be there as long as Al Gore's internet is up and running. But, yeah. I mean, that really is something to be proud of because of what you all built together as a band, and Cody Glass was a gigantic part of this.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, two sticks.
Yeah. He is definitely missed, man. It's been, as we're taping this, it's been a few months since then. But again, you all did really pick yourselves up and dust yourself off and move forward with Eli.
Yep.
And I told you when this happened that was not only a brave thing to do, it was the right thing to do. Because he was kind of like a little brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no doubt. They really took up with each other.
Eli came up in the ranks of being around John Fred and being around Andrew, you know, from the guys from Otis and Blackstone Cherry. He's a part of that clique. He's a part of that family.
Yeah.
And he learned, he set out to be a drummer as a little kid. I don't recall him playing guitar or anything.
No.
And so he had a lot of great mentoring as a child from these kids that were becoming the artists they are today. And they taught him a lot. And then he gets in with Cody Glass as he's becoming a drummer. And him and Cody obviously got close in the drumming aspect of things.
That I think that whole deal just really got his feet wet as far as jamming with other folks.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, man, I ain't never met an ambitious dude like Eli, man. I'm telling you, that dude is full of it.
I mean, he just graduated high school.
Yeah, and he just put together a successful benefit.
Yes, he did.
At 18, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, it's not everything that he's done. It's clear he did it out of love and honoring his friend, which meant a massive world to him.
I can't remember the exact amount that that was raised, but yeah, he took a check straight to the funeral home and put down what it needed to be given to, and I mean, he put all that together, you know what I mean? That's
Well, I mean, it really fell into place once.
I was doing shit I wasn't supposed to when I was 18. he's got a heart of gold, man.
He really does. I've met his mother, and obviously, like I said, you know, to come up with Andrew and John Fred teaching him drumming things at such a young age, and then hanging around with Cody recently leading into this band. I mean, he was there. He was there to watch this band unfold and become what it did. So it just seemed like, you told me, it was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, just,
you didn't even have to think about it.
No, not really at all. It's just, I mean, we literally looked at him and was like, hey, man, give it about a week or so and we'll get together.
Yeah.
You know, and that was all it was. And we got together, and the first practice, he come in, and, but you know, he knew us. I mean, we've known each other for a while, but we hadn't been like
really on that level. Right. Yeah. It's a different level to just hang out with people. It's another to be working together and having a musical connection and a working connection.
And he went in there with just work ethic on just working. That's what he walked into practice with. He's ready to get to work.
Yeah.
And we sat down and we just went through the album and took a break. And then next thing I know, we wrote two songs. You know what I mean? It's like, daggum, just like that. Yeah. You know, and
so the fit was,
he blew me away too. Just because, I mean, I wouldn't, like, I knew he could play, but I didn't know.
I don't think he ever had the opportunity to really show what he could
do. He's got chops, man.
Yeah, he does.
I'm pretty proud of him too, and I love just watching him play. You know what I mean?
See, and the same thing about Eli was similar to Cody, is out of the blue, I start getting these messages from him, and he's like, can I get together with you and you teach me things about drums? I'm like, what am I going to teach you that you don't already know? I know who you've been raised around. I know what you've been doing. And he still would, you know, he still reached out to me and asked questions about drumming and stuff. And I was like, I don't really know what I can tell you, but, you know, I get what you're doing. You know, you just want knowledge. You want to really absorb everything you can from anybody that's willing to talk to you like a sponge and all that. So Eli was really just kind of, it wasn't even a question.
No,
it
just, really. Just,
it just happened.
Yeah, he's great to work with. Like, we just had practice today. It's great. I mean, we're working on new material now.
Just moving forward,
man.
And it's not only keeping the band going because of all of the work you all put into it, but now it's got even deeper meaning. It's keeping Cody Glass's memory alive for many, many, many years to come, and always making sure people know how this band started, and he was a key figure of it. And I think the world of it. I think the world of Eli. I'm really proud of what he's doing. He blew me away when I saw you guys play, because again, it's like, he's a kid. I figured he could play. I didn't know how level wise he was, and he's top notch.
So there's a new kid on the block,
solid,
huh?
Solid drummer, and I mean that sincerely. Like, he wasn't flashy. He wasn't twirling sticks. He wasn't standing up and getting attention. He played for the song, and the groove and the just approach that he had was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
So it made,
and he went to, like, he went to school with Ricky Hodge too, so it just kind of made sense, you know what I mean?
I did not attend the school.
You get the Kais and all that stuff just embedded in your head, and clutch and all that good jazz, and you just,
all the good stuff.
You roll with it.
Well, out of tragedy, you turned it into a positive, and you have moved forward. And I have seen you live with Eli twice so far. And But you've played what? Three? Well, no. You've played about five or six shows, right?
Yeah, we did Spillway Mundane, Benefit. Yeah, we've had like four or five shows that we've done.
So it seems.
And Vet City and all
Yeah, we are just coming off the heels of the Vet City Music Fest.
On to many more.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah, I love it. I'm really proud of you guys, and I know Cody would have been proud. I know he's proud. He has to be.
Oh, yeah.
So what's in store? You said you're writing new songs. Are you just going to instantly hit the ground running with him and try to get something recorded as soon as possible to establish this new sound and new band and go into 2020 with some new, you know, fresh things to do?
I don't know when we're going to go back and do studio work, but, yeah, writing new material, definitely just gives me, you know, plays many shows. That's we're a live band.
Yeah.
You know, we love playing live. We love for everybody to come see us play live. You know, we love just doing all that. That's what took us forever to get to an EP, you know, to get a record going. Is we just couldn't stop turning. We couldn't turn a gig down, you know what I mean? Just, we'd just rather play.
Well, the EP is great. It really captured the band. And again, it's now a treasured item to own because it's Cody Glass's last drumming performance on a record.
That's his hoorah.
Where can everybody find info on the band Wolfhound Cosmonauts, and where is your album available or EP available?
You can find us on Facebook. We also have we have an album on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music. Best way to find any of our stuff and merch is come see us live. We'll hook you up, or you can hit us up. I mean, if you want to meet us up, we'll get you a t-shirt, we'll get you a CD. We got plenty.
Get the package
dip. Yeah, come see us live.
It's great. It's great. You're a great live band.
I appreciate it.
And I mean, we've only done two, maybe three shows with you guys something like that. And
made another one.
I just absolutely, I think it's a great pairing, you know. And I talked to Robbie not that long ago. I'm going to try to book a show with the two of us at the Dive in Cave City.
Hey, man.
And it's a great place, and I think you guys would go really well there.
I love Three Pieces, too, man.
It's easier to share at the stage.
Yeah, especially there.
The drummers don't mind sharing kits and all that.
Three Pieces are cool, though, man. You got TLC and Destiny's Child. And
all my favorites.
I had to. I'd love to play the Dive. It looks like a cool place, man. It looks like it's really popping,
cool. Prior to... Now, when you all did get started, you played the Spillway, you played Tidballs. What else have you done out and about?
We've done A-Frame a couple times. Mm-hmm. We did Diamonds. I think like a couple weeks before you played.
You did. In December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tidballs.
Cody loved Tidballs.
Oh, yeah. We all love Tidballs. Yeah. That's like a shame.
Well, it was interesting in his podcast, he told the story about his first ever show.
Yeah.
Live performance was at Tidballs. And
mine was at Turntable. You remember that?
The Mighty Club with 1,000 names on Morgantown Road.
I only knew it as Berlin's and Turntable.
Yeah, it was something long before that. Grumpy's, I just don't remember what it was.
Like
I
don't even know if that's... Is it still open?
Every time I went there or played a show there, it was a different name. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But yet the stage was the same.
Yep.
The atmosphere was the same. Not much to talk about there.
Got a liquor store and a gas station.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you think about prime time.
A lot of heavy bands play. It was like the mecca for the heavy bands.
Yeah, metal was really accepted. I went to a black metal show there one time.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was black metal, and look out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Heavy, heavy.
Galore.
Gotta love it.
Oh, I do. I mean, the only places that we've played Rockies. We did do Rockies once.
Do you ever play Dublin's?
We have not played Dublin's yet.
You guys have a really good blend of you're really strong, and you know your originals are dominant in your set list, but you do pick like really good choice covers to do. You pick really good songs, not the hits, but just really awesome songs that us rockers are going to recognize, because I know that you cover Judas Priest, you do Motley Crue, and I can't remember really off the top of my head.
We're all metalheads, you know. And we do that for the classic, metalheads.
For the love of metal.
Yeah, you got to, man. If you're going to play heavy metal, you got to play some Judas
Priest, right.
Man. Yeah, Judas Priest.
But I noticed that right from the get-go, you guys were like, We're going to focus on our originals, but we will do some cool covers. And you do. And I think you do a really good job of the merger of the world, you know. It's a perfect blend.
Yeah. I mean, we throw a couple in, you know, and it's fun to play them, you know.
Oh, yeah. But you pick good stuff, man. I like the songs you guys do.
I can't help but, like, every time I pick acoustic guitar up, I'm gonna write something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a habit. I can't sit down. I can't remember the last time I really just sat down and learned a cover. You know, I just can't help but sit down and start writing something, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't really mess with covers either.
But, I mean, they're fun to do, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially if it's something you like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who don't
if you get into a cover band to make money, then it's not so fun.
Yeah. I'm just ready to play Rocky Top at a bluegrass fest.
Have fun with that.
No.
Maybe do Wagon Wheel after that.
Wagon Wheel, yeah. Followed up by Judas Priest.
So you guys have, again, like I said, you took a really tragic thing. You turned it into, did the best you could to make a positive of it and go forward. And I know Cody would be beaming with pride with that. So what is in the future for you guys? Working on new stuff? You going to try to record something new?
Try to record something new. Just take it as far as we can, man. Okay. That's the goal.
So just write, record, just play.
Looking for that light at the end of the tunnel. Keep going for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to. That's the thing. It plays many places we can play it, you know.
Yeah.
Meet as many folks as we can. It's just try to do some more recording. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, good.
All the good stuff of being in the band, you know.
Well, like, you know, you need to.
Yeah.
And I think you did a great job on... the way you handled it and the way that you've moved forward, I think it was an honorable thing, and I'm proud.
I appreciate it, man.
As a fan, as a friend, I'm really proud of you guys.
I appreciate it.
I think I'm done. I don't know. Yeah, we kind of covered everything.
Put a fork in you?
I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm going to keep asking the same question about it. But... that's what's on store, on tap for the Wolf Island Cosmonaut.
On tap, hot and cold on tap.
Oh, I know what I forgot. As a fan,
uh-huh.
As a local musician, and a person involved in this music scene, who are some of your favorites, past or present, that have influenced you all these years?
My first local show was Pilot in Glasgow at the Parish Center. Love that band.
Mm-hmm.
And really happy about what they're doing with Facebook.
Cody Mink has started a Pilot fan page on Facebook, and he's uploading audio and video and just various things, and it's been really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because I was living and working in Nashville when that band was popular. I didn't catch a lot of it up here, but every blue moon, I think I came up to try and catch a show at Night Class or something, but. I knew Cody, and I was in the know of what they were doing, but I was just kind of in my own world at the time and lived down there and worked down there and stuff. So it's a generation gap in a way, but, you know, I was aware of Pilot.
Oh, yeah.
They really had an impact on the scene, especially for Glasgow, being a Glasgow band.
Man, I'm the high school parking lot, Pilot stickers on the back of old cars and stuff. Then, you know, Sixth Floor, Super Fuzz. I'm a big Super Fuzz fan. As far as today, man, I really dig Black Gold. I really dig what they're doing. Mundane, love those guys. Kiss Kiss Bang, they're great. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. They've been like brothers to us. Luther, I dig El Astronauta. I like the heck out of it. I really do, man. I thought y'all killed it up there at the benefit show.
We're having fun.
I love it, man.
We're still new.
Ah,
it was an honor to be a part of that and to pay tribute to him. I mean, it's like, it's hard, man, to do those things.
Yeah.
Because you walk in, you're like, we're going to play. We're going to have fun and play a show, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
So you just kind of do your thing and hope that your being there and performance and advertising has brought people in the door for the real purpose of what a benefit is for, helping the family. And I think we all pulled that off.
Another band that was there, really, Mojo Thunder, man.
Yeah, Mojo Thunder. That was impressive.
Oh, yeah, those dudes are killer.
And they're from Lexington. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We played with them in Waco, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
at another bike fest.
Oh, cool.
Earlier on in the year.
A lot
lot of bike festivals.
Oh, I know. Yeah, those are great dudes. Love that band.
Yeah.
One I hear all the time, my lady's crazy about it. Crowder, I love his solo stuff too.
Clayton Crowder obviously did a lot of. He was really well known for Undead Anna for a long time, and then he has kind of stepped out, done solo stuff, but he's also in Kiss Kiss Bang.
Yep.
He has an episode of the Sound Atlas. Everybody can go back and check out.
Go back.
He tells his story. Where else have I seen you guys? I've seen you guys with Despite the Fallen.
Yeah.
That's a good pairing.
Oh, yeah.
Mason,
dude, what a guitar player, man. That dude is like...
It's pretty sick. It's pretty impressive. Have you heard some of their new stuff?
Yeah, that new
stuff. Yeah. As we are taping this, I think they've released two singles off of their new album coming up.
Me and Eli listened to one of them. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't remember the titles, but I like Cody sent me a link and I listened to one, and then they released another, and I mean Johnny, and it was really good. It was really, really good.
One of my favorite bands that I got to go just hang out and watch was a band called Mighty Jabronis. I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Oh my god,
those dudes are awesome. They play Billy Gunn's theme song, and I was about to drop a famouser on everybody in there.
Captain Dean band opened for them one time, and I was just beside myself. I could not believe how great that was.
When he closed the set and like had the Hulk Hogan shirt on and did the deal, oh man, that was great. I love stuff like that. I'm a sucker for a gimmick, man.
Well, I love it when comedy can be mixed in, but yet it's taken serious.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And not many people can pull that off.
No. But
they can totally pull it off with a straight face. You wouldn't think it's like some sort of shtick because they take it serious.
Yeah, like even like there's a dude that was announcing them. It's like the next band scheduled for One Fall or something like that. I love that, man.
Yeah, that's a good band.
That's kind of, you know, like I said, me and Rob both are huge wrestling fans. Eli is too. Mm-hmm. So the whole kind of gimmick and stuff, that's kind of helped with this band a lot too.
Maybe that's what you all should do now.
Just
since you're wrestling fans, you should wear the wrestling outfit.
I should
all dress like Andre the Giant.
I was gonna do Steve Austin, just shave my hair off, chug beer, and drop stunners. I could do it.
I think people would dig that.
Maybe, I don't know.
But that's just something I always try to end these with, because it's a great thing that you get to know someone on a personal level, but then you get to know the bands and the music that they're either influenced by or just a fan of. And so obviously the ones you named are great, and I've seen you guys with a lot of those bands. Mm-hmm. You all have teamed up and done shows together, and those are good pairings, you know. And I think our music scene, rock and roll, heavy rock oriented wise, which is clearly what you all fall into, it's in good shape right now.
Oh yeah, it's rowdy. I love it,
and you're a part of it.
I love it. I don't know what else I'll be doing. Just playing video games, I guess.
Going to work, right?
Going to work, doing something not fun. Yeah.
Well, Lucas, is there anything I missed? Is there anything you wanted to talk about coming into this, and anything we might have missed the first time we did? You know what? I'll tell you this right now. This is totally different than the original one we did.
It is.
It is. Same kind of questions and format, but I think it's a better outcome this time.
I dig.
Because we were in an environment. We recorded your episode originally at the Spillway before the Cody Glass benefit show.
Yep.
So it was kind of like a sad thing, you know?
Now
like,
we're in here and we got this funky jazz going on.
Yeah, funky jazz.
Whatever it is.
But I feel like this one might have a better outcome. But for anyone listening, it was the first time I'd ever made a major mistake. I did not have a cord plugged in all the way. And so when I listened back to the interview, it was a staticky mess, and it was terrible. And I was not going to air it, even though I could have. I'm not going to air this. So you were on a vacation.
I was.
And I saw this, and I was like, I'm not going to ruin his vacation by telling him that we have to do this again. So I messaged you politely. Was it yesterday? And I was like, are you back yet? Oh, by the way, we need to do your episode again.
Man, I was getting ready to shake hands with Dolly Parton, too.
But thank you so much for not only doing this again, but for sharing your story and telling everybody about Wolf Island Cosmonauts. Yeah. And thank you all for what you do. Thank you for what you've done. And I'm looking forward to the future. And I know a lot of people listening to this are fans of you guys, are really glad to see what the future has in store for you guys.
Well, we're ready to do it.
Do it.
Going to.
Well, right now, you're going to go get something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Because your lady is patiently waiting for this to wrap up. And I'm going to stop talking.
I told you wait out in the truck.
Lucas, thank you for meeting me here at Mellow Mass Music and More, where the staff is cool and the stuff is cool. And you're cool. And you're a bass player that plays Fender P bass.
That's right.
Which is what I'm talking about.
You got to do it.
Thank you, and bye.
Sweet.